Panthers Pulse on the inside look at the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League, exclusively at Panthers.com.
It's radio, it's television, and it's on the web. We call it Panthers Pulse. It's Mike Kraft from Panthers.com, along with Brian Strickland, senior writer from Panthers.com, Max Henson, staff writer for Panthers.com, and Dan, back up off the couch. Feeling good. Yeah. Good to see you, buddy. Missed you last week.
I missed you guys,
too. We know you were working.
Yeah, always.
Because you can do that in cyberspace.
I never stop.
But we know you were keeping your finger on the pulse.
As always.
As always, and glad to see you back here for another edition.
Thanks, Mike.
Of nice the to. Panthers Pulse.
Nice
yes.
to see you, too.
We are feeling good. The Panthers are back. Back from the West Coast with another win, 2 in a row. Finally, guys, breaking through for the first time this season after 4 tries, back-to-back. Brian, what was the difference?
Yeah, I mean, it sure made that plane ride back seem a little shorter, wouldn't you say? I mean, coming across the country.
Well, I flew commercials.
Oh, never mind. Never mind. I forgot about that little detail.
But I would agree. And I would agree.
And I was in coach.
Well, that baby that was kicking your seat was really
so
exciting.
It was a little rough for me.
Okay, sorry about that.
But I had a lot of happy Panther fans along Good. With me on that flight. Tom Broach and his folks were there. He had a gang of folks there. A lot of Panther fans.
Oh, yeah.
There was a strong contingent behind the bench at the stadium. It was pretty cool to see, yeah.
Yeah, it almost felt like a home game.
It did. Open-air press box, which a lot of times up in the press box for me and Max, we don't hear the fans. So it was like, hey, we can hear this. And before the game, it was like a home game, like you said. And finally the Chargers fans realized, wait a second, this is kind of embarrassing. And they at least booed a little bit. But it was like a home game.
Doing their part.
Awesome.
But, Max, when you look at that game from start to finish, a complete ball game in every phase of the game, right?
Yep. And we talked about the trip having to fly across country, and usually that doesn't bode well for us trying to start fast. You might come out a little sluggish after that. But couldn't have scripted a better start. You're up 21-0 in the first quarter. Take advantage of the Phillip Rivers turnover and score a touchdown on a short field. I mean, everything was working offensively, and then defensively, it kind of snowballed on the Chargers, so to speak. I mean, the Panthers got rolling, the confidence was up, and it was a clinical performance. I mean, it really was start to finish. They dominated in all three phases, and it was for Panther fans, it must have been fun to watch, because after so many close games, here was a convincing win that was pretty much put. You know, there was no doubt about it, and that's a credit to that coaching staff and that team for going across country and beating a team that had just beaten the Steelers on the road handily in their own place.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Brian, one of the things that this win has done, the two wins in a row, is the team truly building momentum for 2013?
Well, I mean, Dan, that's a popular question on Facebook today,
oh, yeah,
right?
Absolutely. We have a lot of fans asking about how the Panthers will maintain that momentum. We had Mike Wheeler, Rajesh Guthrapali Gupta, probably pronounced that one right, and Charles Lipscomb asked that how the Panthers are going to maintain that momentum.
And it is building, Mike, obviously. I mean, 2 in a row, 3 of 4. The other side of that is, remember last year, 4 of 6 to close the season, and obviously, you know, 2012 did not start out like we would have hoped after that. But I talked to Jordan Gross after the game a little bit about that very fact, and he said, hey, you got to learn from your mistakes. We absolutely had to learn, will learn from how we didn't carry over the momentum last year. We have to do it this year. You know, he said we didn't take it easy. We didn't think, you know, in a little way we thought it would be easy coming into this season because of how we closed last season. We forgot what allowed us to go 4-2 down the stretch, and we're not going to make that mistake again. So I feel better about the momentum carrying over.
Now, Max, that being said, Coach said in his press conference yesterday that even with the wins, he doesn't want to run the risk of getting overhyped and getting the expectations out of whack, I think, is how he phrased it.
Yep.
Is that what you took from his press conference yesterday?
Yeah. I mean, I think you get a sense from the players, from the coaches, that they're excited about these back-to-back wins. You know, beating Atlanta, beating San Diego. They want to win these games, obviously, and it's exciting to do so. But there is still very much a sense of disappointment in that it took this team too long, and I don't think they're going to forget about that, or that won't get glossed over by the fact that they've now won back-to-back games. The way the season started, the adversity they went through, I think is what's going to carry this team through the offseason, and the memories of those failures, more so than the success here late in the season, will be what drives this team.
Clubber Lang in Rocky III.
Yeah. Correct.
Good reference.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, as always, we count on our participation from fans and an energized fan base today. A lot of questions. Boy, a list is long.
Oh, yeah.
From folks on our social networks. Dan, what you got?
Yeah, Panthers 101 asks, what do you think the reasons have been for the team struggling slow the last two seasons but finishing so strong? And why does the team seem to struggle to execute when the games are more meaningful?
Well, I mean, as far as starting slow, when you look at this season, and Max brought it up, talking about learning from your mistakes. And the thing about it is when you have young players in certain positions, well, in every position, they are going to have to overcome a learning curve. And in the NFL, I mean, there is no free lunch. I mean, you got to earn what you get. And when you look at what happened during the season, and you go back and look at the film, there were cases where guys were thinking instead of playing. I mean, they were trying to figure out, okay, what is my role in this offense or defense or special teams? When you look at the film now, and I just got finished looking at that Chargers film, and especially the stuff on the goal line, because, I mean, that's where the rubber meets the road. And you look at the Panthers' offensive line, as patchwork as it had been, guys fitting in new places, they were proactive. They were taking it to the Chargers. Instead of, okay, I'm going to step here, but wondering, you know, if this guy slants away, they were just moving. It almost looked like one contiguous unit player there. Everybody looked like one player. And that's the type of thing you get only with experience. Mm-hmm. And you only get that experience from playing.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, you like you said, you kick yourself because what if we had pulled out some of those heartbreakers, and now the team was playing its best football.
Oh yeah!
Wow.
I know it's painful to think.
We had
about
a tough schedule to start the year too. I mean, that's nothing to consider.
It's a good point, and I mean, I think Cam Newton, he quarterback sometimes gets too much blame, too much credit, but along the lines of the learning curve, I mean, obviously he had to deal with that all over again this year. I mean, we heard all the sophomore slump talk in the preseason. Wanted to think that's not going to be an issue. And, you know, in some ways it was. And clearly it took him a while to figure out, you know, how to play against defenses that were preparing for him a different way. And he's been unbelievable the last 5 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Max, you looked at Cam in the last few games. I know you've got guys been poring over the statistics.
Yeah.
I mean, they speak volumes to what's going on now, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, well, you look at a couple of things that Cam has done over the past five games. It's 13 touchdowns he's accounted for, zero turnovers. I mean, and you talk about Cam, the one consistent thing, he's asked about every week what he thinks he needs to improve on. It's a question he always gets asked. And usually his consistent answer is turnovers. Mm-hmm. He always talks about how he wants to limit the turnovers, limit the mistakes, protect the football. I've got to protect the football better is what you'll hear him say a lot. And the fact that he has stated that and literally achieved it to no end here. Now it just has refused to turn the ball over. The touchdowns are now coming in. This offense is in such a rhythm. And I think this past game against the Chargers was really indicative of where he's grown as a quarterback, because we know this offense has big play potential and they can hit you with big plays. I think they lead the league in plays over 20 yards. But they set a team record for first downs with 29 against the Chargers. And that tells you that if you take away the big plays and you make the Panthers beat you meticulously, they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Cam took the 9-yard gains on 3rd and 7 and mm-hmm. That offense was able to meticulously move the ball downfield. And they've done it for weeks now. And I thought one of the most impressive things was the ability to just throw the ball away. When the screen isn't there, he's throwing it into the ground. When he's getting rolled out of the pocket and nobody's open, he's willing to just take that play instead of trying to force the ball in. And that's playing quarterback at this level. Wouldn't you say, Mike? Next step as a quarterback is to not make those plays negative ones. Instead, live another day. And that's what he's doing, and the success has just come from it.
Well, you hit that on the head. And let me tell you, the thing about it, and the hardest thing to do, and especially in a second year when you see guys struggle, and that is realizing what the defense has taken away, okay? And when you look at the Chargers film, perfect example, early in the game, they line up. Steve Smith is outside. You got Barnage at tight end to the left. Steve Smith's running a go route. And early in the season, even with the teams rotating towards Smitty, might see Cam kind of lock in on Steve and then, you know, wait a little bit too long and the play break down. Against the Chargers in the very first series, Smitty clears. It turns into a clear out now, and here's Barnage going to the flat underneath Smitty. He throws it right away. Barnage catches a 5-yard pass but turns it into a 12-13-yard gain.
Yeah. Great
That's example. Playing quarterback, because in the NFL, defenses are great at taking things away and not really showing you a clear picture. So he's doing a great job in that. Let's go on some more questions.
Yeah, Brian, this might be one for you or Mike. Oh. John P.
I guess Dax I won't be Venice. Answering this question.
Next, you will speak when spoken to, sir. Kind of forgot you were here. is asking about updates.
Who was it from, by the way?
John P. Baxavanus.
Okay.
I don't know if I said that.
Well, you got the all-name team today.
Well, the last year's draft helped with that.
Gotcha.
Lou and Keekly,
gotcha.
Getting used to
gotcha.
Difficult names. But asking about updates on Chris Gamble and John Beast and how they're coming along in their rehab and any updates
there? You think that's a question for me?
Well,
I think that's a question for John and for Chris, actually.
You see these guys. You
spend a lot of time in the trainer's room.
I've seen John here and there. Great spirits, as always. I mean, honestly, I haven't had a chance to talk to John about the details of how it's going, but, you know, he's just always a nice guy to run into in the hallway and has a kind word for you. And, I mean, we know his track record of working hard. I mean, he'll do everything he can to be back. You know, Chris, I haven't seen Chris in a while. Have you, Max? I mean, obviously, he's around. Those guys have a different schedule because of their rehab, though.
Yeah.
So we miss him.
Yeah,
a
we
lot
haven't
of
run
times.
Into Chris.
I mean, you know, it varies, though. We saw, you know, Khalil made the trip to California, you know.
Which was cool to see. Yeah. He's a Southern California guy,
right.
and for him to be able to fly back and him just being around the team is fun to see, obviously.
Mm. Keep going.
Okay, sure. We had Scott Stewart asking. Right now, the Panthers' record obviously should be a lot better than it is. How do players stay motivated right now when the season's almost over and the games aren't meaningless? These are really important games for, you know, setting yourself apart and for pride and for a lot of other reasons. But how do you stay motivated this late in the year?
Well, I've asked guys, quite simply, it's your job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You stay motivated because it's your job. Yeah. And if you don't stay motivated, then you will move on.
Yeah.
I mean, because every piece of film this time of year is just as important as it was early in the season.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, Ron was essentially asked this very question. He was asked, why is his team continuing to fight and continuing to play as hard as they have? Because as we've seen throughout this season, there have been so many close games. This team just kind of refuses to go away. And he kind of just said that, you know, it would be tough for them to do this if they had lost a lot of games like they did to the Giants, for instance, where a game where they were outplayed pretty much in every fast and lost by several scores. But the fact that this team has been in so many close games and they've been so close, he feels like his players, they know that they're better than what this record is. And I guess they get a chance to prove that every Sunday. And until they're told that they can't play anymore, which is they got two chances left, they're going to continue to try to prove that. And I think that's just kind of the mindset we've seen. We saw it during the week leading up to Atlanta against the division champs. I mean, this team feels like they're a better football team than what their record indicates, and they're playing like it.
Yeah, and I could add to it quickly, if you don't mind, that, I mean, it is their job. There's no doubt about it. But I've always been impressed by how, you know, the character of these individual guys and the pride they take in their work. I mean, a lot of people go to work and go through the motions, you know, and still are doing their job. But, I mean, this is my third year with the team. And, I mean, even the 2-14 year, I mean, I didn't see quit in these guys. I just think it speaks to the character of the locker room.
Well, before we go, you know the campaign for Luke Kuechly, Defensive Rookie of the Year, continue. In fact, guys, the button's on order. We like Luke. on order. We're opening up a campaign office right here in the stadium. And things are moving. But give me some numbers on how his campaign is going.
Well, what do we got, Brian?
Again, we have the, you know, NFL stats. He's now second.
But, forget those.
All right. But we use coaches' film review is what we look at for team records. And he's tied James Anderson for the team record. He was credited with 7 tackles by the coaching staff this past week. He's got 174, 2 games to go. He's tied James's record, which was established last year.
Well, I saw something somewhere on Panthers.com. The last 2 guys to lead the league in tackling. As rookies, 1.
Yeah, Patrick Willis.
Right, Patrick Willis.
And D'Amico Ryans.
D'Amico Ryans.
Okay, we had a fan asking about that.
Well, who was it and what did he ask?
Cliff Palmieri asks, I would like to know how many rookies have led the NFL in tackles over the years. And the question came in late.
Yeah, those two did, and both won Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
Look at that.
Yeah. And the first year in the NFL, history of the NFL, a rookie led the league in tackles.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah.
Ryan, good.
Because everybody was a rookie.
Well, okay.
So.
All right, that's good.
Sorry.
Well, real quickly, we got to get on to the Raiders coming to town. Now, 3 in a row going into Christmas would be a nice present for Panther fans and this everyone in this organization.
Last home game, yeah.
And to our coaching staff who continued to work hard all during the season. A definitely winnable game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think about, and of course we'd love to see this, you know, last year the last home game was right before Christmas against the Buccaneers, and it was a fun, memorable day for everybody. Cam's signature touchdown run. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd like to think this could set up the same way. Certainly the Raiders are vulnerable to that. But, you know, the Raiders are coming off a shutout victory over a Kansas City team that had a good day against us. You know, you can't take anything for granted. Certainly it would be great to end the home schedule with a great performance.
It definitely would. But as always, we promise to stop talking before you stop listening. Man, that tagline is...
We'll have to work on that.
I've got to rewrite that. I need to get reading glasses or something. This is Mike Kraft on behalf of Brian, Max, Dan, and the entire Panthers.com crew, Berkeley Dickens.
Berkeley,
thank you.
Thanks.
We will see you right here next week on Panthers.com.